My name is Edgar Ednicott. I am the Health Education Supervisor with the California Department of Public Health Immunization Branch. Yay, California! Must be the stimulus money, exactly. So you are in the session titled, How Are the Media Framing Information About Vaccines? Analysis of Data from Two Studies. This workshop will present findings from analysis of media stories about HPV vaccine and vaccine safety topics. Presenters will discuss whether the media are presenting information in a clear and balanced or biased way, and how this might influence knowledge and attitudes of the American public. So with us today, we have our two distinguished guests, one from the CDC, to share their respective studies that focus on online news media, more specifically online news stories and blogs. Our first presenter will be Jillian Doss. She graduated with a Master's of Public Health and Epidemiology from the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in 2005. In 2007, she rejoined the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at Atlanta as a Public Health Prevention Service Fellow. During her first year in the program, she completed 2 6-month rotations, one with the Division of STD Prevention, Behavioral Interventions and Research Branch, where she worked on a variety of HPV vaccine projects. In September 2008, she was assigned to the Florida Department of Health Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention and Healthy Homes Program in Tallahassee, Florida. Our second presenter will be Alan Jansen. Alan Jansen is a health communication specialist at the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases Office of Health Communications at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Currently, he is the communications lead for the influenza vaccination efforts of NCIRD. He has been with the CDC for 17 years. Alan has an MS-PH degree from the University of Missouri Medical Center and an undergraduate degree in health education from Illinois State University. Co-presenting with him is Kelly Martin. She is the health education specialist with Oak Ridge Associated Universities, and she has her master's of public health from Morehouse School of Medicine at Atlanta, Georgia. So with that, we'll have Jillian Doss come up and speak.
Thank you, Edgar. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? All right, great. I'd like to today to present on the findings from a follow-up study of a content analysis of online news stories about the HPV vaccine. First, I'd like to take this time to recognize my co-authors for this presentation, who are Nicole LaDon and Melissa Habel. First, I just want to give a little bit of brief background about the human papillomavirus vaccine. As many of you are probably familiar, the HPV is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the United States, and there are over 100 strains, 40 which are sexually transmitted, and they are categorized into high-risk types and low-risk types. Currently, there are two vaccines, HPV vaccines, available. The first was licensed for use in June 2006 by Merck, which is Gardasil, and it's approved for girls and women ages 9 through 26, and it's not yet approved for adult women or boys, but they are ongoing clinical trials looking into those age groups. There's also a second vaccine, Cervarix, that is still undergoing FDA approval, but only covers HPV types 16 and 18. Abrupt shifts in public reaction can undermine the success of vaccination programs, and previous research indicates that news media reports can significantly affect vaccine coverage and uptake. Often, news coverage on the HPV vaccine in television and newspapers has had incomplete or misleading information, with most parents citing the media as their primary source for information on health issues and vaccines. This information gap may prove to be problematic and ultimately hinder vaccine uptake and acceptance. A recent review of online user-generated videos about the HPV vaccine on YouTube found that about 25% of videos were framed negatively and usually were accompanied by both positive and negative comments from users. The purpose of this study was to explore changes over time to the HPV vaccine internet news post-licensure in an effort to understand how the media is depicting the vaccine and to monitor any trends in social issues and concerns. The data for this particular study was collected from two different time periods. The first time period was previously collected from June 2006 through September 2006, and the second time period was collected from November 2007 through March 2008, and that will be referred to as time one and time two data. Both data sets consisted of a random sample of online internet news stories that were searched on alternating days of each week. 4 search engines and 7 search terms were used for searching the articles. The top 3 news articles from each search engine were compiled and analyzed using the coding instrument. News articles overlapping with other search engine results were only reviewed once, and if there was no mention of the HPV vaccine within an article, it was excluded from the sample. Here is a snapshot of the Google News site that we would use as one of the four search engines. Here we would look at the top three articles and to select for coding if they met the searching criteria. For example, the first headline stating wondering about the HPV vaccine would be selected and reviewed to determine if it was met our searching criteria. Here is a list of some of the measures that were included in our coding instrument. They included looking at the general headline frame. We coded those into positive, neutral, or negative. Also the labeling of the vaccine, other adolescent vaccines, which included the Tdap and the MCV4 vaccines. And we also measured certain types of HPV vaccine information, social issues and concerns, or safety and adverse events if they were mentioned in the article. Also, a coding instrument and codebook were developed and a coding training was held. While developing the codebook, we decided to determine the framing of the article as positive, neutral, or negative using the following criteria. If the vaccine was framed positively, we would look for comments stating that the vaccine had the potential to decrease cervical cancer and potentially save lives. If the vaccine was framed in a more neutral light, we would look for just the basic facts about the vaccine and the article wouldn't persuade the reader. If it was tended to be more on the negative side, we would look for statements stating that the vaccine was harmful, unnecessary, or potentially will increase sexual risk. 10% of the total sample, which was 16 articles, were originally tested for inter-rater reliability, and a second test was done, which resulted in a total of 24 articles. Data analyses were conducted using SPSS, and univariate analyses were used for time 2 data, and bivariate analyses were used for the combined data, or overtime, which included chi-square. So at this time, I'll briefly discuss the univariate results from the time 2 data, which was from November 2007 through March 2008. And the vaccine information presented for these articles include both Gardasil and Cervarix. However, due to the small percentages of the Cervarix data from the articles we captured, both of those data have been combined for these results. So our analyses revealed that most of the articles were framed as neutral toward the vaccine and referenced as either an HPV vaccine or by its brand name Gardasil. Articles were also more likely to be recorded as positive toward the vaccine rather than negative. Here are a few examples of the type of headlines that we coded as positive, neutral, or negative. For example, vaccine can reduce cancer risk was coded for positive, HPV vaccine was coded as neutral, and the vaccine is too risky was coded as negative headline. The most common social issues and concerns are listed here in this chart that you can, in this table that you can see. Affordability issues was among the most cited social issue and concern, with 30.5% of the articles mentioning it, followed by mandatory school vaccination and the possibility of increased sexual risk behaviors among adolescents. Side effects from the vaccine was an issue also mentioned more frequently as a concern for uptake, while continued pap smears was not discussed as frequently. Only 4.6% of the articles discussed false sense of security as an issue for concern for the vaccine, while 23% of the articles mentioned parent communication with adolescents about the vaccine or sexual activity. A total of 37% of the articles made reference to a safety or adverse event. Of those articles, 12.6% of them mentioned pain at the injection site, and death was mentioned as often as syncope. 7.5% of those articles also mentioned some other type of adverse event, which included seizures, rashes, and paralysis. Approximately 24 articles mentioned or made reference to the Tdap or MCV4 vaccines or other adolescent vaccines in their articles. Less than 1% of those articles mentioned them both together. The vaccine not protecting against all HPV types and vaccine approval for boys were also not as commonly mentioned. Now this time I will discuss the results of the bivariate analyses, which included both time 1 and time 2 data. Now this analysis does not include Cervarix since we were comparing similar variables found in time 1 to time 2. Our analyses revealed that over time, most articles were more likely to be framed neutrally rather than positive or negative. In time 1, the neutral framing was seen in 53.4% of the articles as compared to 70.1% in time 2. There was also a significant decrease in positive and negative headlines over time. Also, as seen in the univariate results, vaccine reference was more likely to be referred to as Gardasil or as an HPV vaccine. Many social issues and concerns have also decreased over time, as you can see in this chart, particularly the need for continued pap smears and the potential increase for sexual risk behavior. Mandatory school vaccinations and affordability have also decreased over time, whereas pain at the injection site and side effects have significantly increased over time, particularly as seen in time two. Here, vaccine information over time has also changed. There's been a decrease in the mention of information related to efficacy, dosing, and duration, and cost. In time one, efficacy was mentioned in 44.8% of the articles, and in time two, only 23.6% mentioned efficacy. Also in time one, cost was more of a concern, was mentioned in 54.8% of the articles, and in time two, only 31% of the articles mentioned cost. So over time, online news stories around the HPV vaccine in general have appeared to be balanced with significant changes in public issues and concerns. Headline frames have continued to remain neutral over time and have shifted away from a more positive or negative tone. This could be for a multitude of reasons, one being the way that we coded the articles, or possibly an increase in public knowledge about the vaccine due to media campaigns and the marketing by the vaccine producers. As our results showed, over time, many of social issues and concerns have changed, particularly the increase in safety and adverse events around the vaccine. Considering the amount of time the vaccine has been on the market, we would expect to see an increase in discussion around these issues. Vaccine affordability and potential increase in sexual risk behavior have decreased due to more private insurance coverage and a reduced fear of the vaccine promoting sexual risk behaviors among adolescents. However, the media's lack of coverage around the need for continued pap smears has huge public health implications if the public believes that once they receive the vaccine, they no longer need a pap smear. A very small percentage of articles mentioned that the vaccine does not protect against all HPV types, cervical cancers, or genital warts, which is the reason why the need to remind the public of the importance of continuing pap smears is important. The lack of discussion around these two topics reveals missed opportunities for communicating important health information. Other missed opportunities that were also seen was the lack of discussion around other required adolescent vaccines, mostly among 11 and 12-year-olds. With the increased interest in heavy advertising around the HPV vaccine, this would have been the perfect opportunity to inform the public about the other required adolescent vaccines their child should have been receiving at this time. These findings further show the need for the public health community to ensure that appropriate and accurate health information is being covered in the media. Constant monitoring over time can help public health and medical experts understand and anticipate important issues that may influence attitudes and uptake of new vaccines, and can also help with the development of health communication messages and future media vaccine campaigns. There are always strengths and limitations to every study. One of the main strengths of this study was the ability to monitor trends in time, over time, in online news media content and social issues and concerns. There are very few studies that have examined HPV vaccine news coverage post-licensure, and although we have few limitations, some of them could be due to the duplication of articles in our data set, which at times is unpreventable due to the nature of posting news stories online that may be listed under different headings, and also the length of time that we used for searching. Also, we did not examine other news sources such as print newspapers or television stories, which could have contained different or more detailed information. Further improvements to our coding instrument and a wider range of news stories could strengthen our findings. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? No, we did not conduct an evaluation for this data set. We did create an evaluation plan that could be used in place to go back and look to see about the credibility of the news sources, but we didn't have time at the time when we did this to do that. Yeah. I saw a hand up over here. God bless you. If they're covering it fairly. Yeah, I would say that during the time of searching for these articles that I did feel that there were definitely lots of places I saw that misinformation or inaccuracies were found, and I think that because we do are an internet age and we use the internet more frequently, that it does allow for people to get misinformation early on without it being corrected in print, because we no longer use that as a mechanism, or of even being on television as well. So I would say that I think that we could do more to make sure that, to work more with the media to ensure that they are providing accurate health information to the public. Yes, in the back. Yes. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And then you talked about the difference between online media and print or other media, but a lot of what comes up in those online searches is just the online
version of the media. Sometimes.
Do you think that's a fair difference, or is there a separate thing of online media that really exists independently?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct that there's sometimes, for example, CNN was one of our search sites, and so any stories that they may have got from New York Times or Associated Press could have been in print media that were also online. But then there were also stories taken from other local newspapers or from other universities, or as for example, talking about coverage in the clinics that would not be dependent on what would be in the newspaper. So it could be different information. Yes. Well, time one was chosen to happen immediately after it was licensed. So they were looking at what type of information was being put out there in the news media right immediately after it was licensed. And time two kind of happened arbitrarily as far as the time was started. We started doing the time two data to just do a comparison between the time one and time two. If we had more time, it would have been nice to have looked exactly at the same time periods. But based on the time when I started working on this, we were a few months behind. Any other questions? Great, thank you.